The moment we hear in our reading from the Gospel of Mark today is a critical moment in Jesus' ministry, in Peter's life and faith journey, and in Mark's gospel as a whole. It's a pivotal moment. Everything thus far in Mark's gospel has been leading up to this point, and everything from this point will lead to the cross, the crucifixion, and ultimately the resurrection of Christ. This is a hinge moment in Mark's gospel. It allows a door to open, a door that leads to new and deeper understanding. Jesus is naturally on the move. Mark's gospel is all about action, movement, activity. Jesus and his disciples are on their way to Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asks them a question. Who do people say that I am? And while this may sound like an early form of popularity polling, that's not really Jesus' intent. He merely uses this question as a segue for the real question at hand. Who do you say that I am? The initial question is one of broad generality. What's the talk? What are people saying? It's a barometer of sorts. Are the people hearing what I'm saying? Are they moving beyond the miracles to the substance? The fact that I am, as in I am, ego and me, God? The answer he receives is about halfway there. People are getting the fact that you are important. You are in keeping with those who have gone before, the prophets, the ones who've been sent to the people as a mouthpiece for God, Elijah and John the Baptist. The people realize that you speak the word of God, the disciples respond. And then Jesus takes the question to another level. And who do you say that I am? And we can imagine that there was an awkward moment of absolute stillness and silence while the followers of Jesus search for just the right answer in response to this question. But before the silence becomes overbearingly awkward, Peter, the impetuous one, jumps in with both feet, as he always does, for better or worse, and blurts out, "You are the Messiah!" And in Matthew's telling of this story, Jesus praises Peter, also known as Simon Bar-Jonah, and proclaims that on this rock he will build his church. But Mark leaves that part out. In Mark's vision, Jesus jumps right in to telling the disciples what's going to happen, how this is not going to go so swimmingly, that he will, in fact, suffer and die. He also tells them that he will rise again on the third day, but all of this is so far from their understanding that they tune him out, all except for Peter, who basically says, "No way, Jesus, you're out of your mind. That's not going to happen." Actually, Mark doesn't tell us what Peter said, but it had to be something like that, given Jesus' reaction, because we know that it wasn't in keeping with his statement, "You are the Messiah," because Jesus is not happy. The mood shifts quickly. Peter has the whole picture. He makes a bold proclamation of Christ as the fulfillment of all the law and the prophets, and just 1 minute later, Jesus says to him, "Get behind me, Satan." And that may not be so much a condemnation of Peter as it is an acclamation of the humanity of Christ and his ability to be truly tempted to forego the days that lie ahead. And this is one of those times that most, if not all of us, can really relate to Peter. Because the question that Jesus has posed to his disciples that day on the way to Caesarea Philippi is the question that is posed to each and every one of us. Who do you say that I am? That's a hinge point for a life of faith. The point that we come face to face with the question of who Jesus is for us. And to take that step farther, what does that mean in our lives? It's one thing to give Jesus lip service, but something different altogether to examine how our answer affects our lives on a daily basis, our lives outside this holy space. This is not a once-in-a-lifetime test. It's not a one-shot answer. The question will be asked of us over and over in different times of our lives, and perhaps sometimes we'll be Johnny on the spot like Peter, and others will need to mull our answer over. About 16 years ago, I answered this question without even realizing that it had been asked. I'd not been a priest for very long, maybe 3 or 4 months, and it was my turn to celebrate the Eucharist, which was my true call and most joy-filled part of ministry. As I retold our story, recalling the words I read on the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And then the words, after supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which was shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." And suddenly, totally unexpectedly and unanticipated, I was overcome with the realization, I believe this. I truly believe this. And it was not as though I had previously doubted, although from time to time I certainly had questions and still do from time to time. But in that one moment in time, a moment which certainly mimicked the experience of Peter, I knew deep in every cell of my being that the story that we tell over and over is true and has life-changing impact. And I would love to tell you that the experience that I had that day so long ago has stuck with me in the same intensity to this day, but that would be untrue. But I do remember that moment vividly, and in my remembering, it is brought to the present. And the question comes to each of us, time and again, who do you say that I am? Who am I to you? Do I matter in your life? And if you answer yes, how does that manifest itself? Can those around you see that? Do the people in your life know that Jesus matters to you? I'm always a little uncomfortable, have been forever, when confronted with the song, "They Will Know We Are Christians by Our Love." My knee-jerk response is, "Oh, really?" Look around the world we inhabit today. Is that the first thought of those who are unchurched or have left church? That they know we're Christians by our love, or something different? Who do you say that I am? And how does the world view our answers to that question of Jesus? The good news is it's not a pass-fail test for all eternity. The question is raised for us time and again, and we, like Peter, are given every opportunity to get it right and to live the life we want, the life of love offered by Christ. Amen.